The truth courier is back. Hey, the truth courier is back. Ooh, the truth courier is back. Yes, yes, yes. We are back. We are bigger. We are better. In fact, the lineup for this season is going to be amazing. I can't wait for you guys to, you know, find out what we have planned, especially for today's episode. You know, I missed you guys so much. Like, I didn't realize I was going to miss you guys this much, but I did. And I hope you guys missed me too. Come on, I know you did. Don't come and lie, you. Make Were know the disguise, I beg. Soro Sokejo. That is one slang we learned from the Endsars protest. I can't start today's episode without giving a shout out to the wonderful, amazing, fantabulous youths of this nation, who together with one voice took to the streets to fight for our rights. Yes, I know everything didn't go as planned, but the protests, the courage, the unity, the discipline, the togetherness that we saw for the past weeks that it lasted gives me a lot of hope for the future. Like, this country has hope. There's hope in our youths, honestly. And we can't dare forget all our fallen heroes who gave their lives for the freedom of our beloved nation. So before we move on with today's episode, I'd love to dedicate this song to them.
Here's to the ones that we got. Cheers to the wish you were here, but you're not. Cause the drinks bring back all the memories of everything we've been through. Toast to the ones here today. Toast to the ones that we lost on the way. Cause the dreams bring back all the memories. And the memories, bring back your.
I pray that all the souls we lost to SARS, police brutality, and to the Lekki massacre rest in perfect peace. Amen.
Permit me to interrupt your day with this breaking news. It's Thursday and the Truth Courier is back to rock your world.
Yes, yes, yes. I love this podcast.
Welcome to another fantastic episode of your favorite podcast, the Truth Courier Podcast. A podcast that gives you the raw and unfiltered truth about the issues and struggles we face as a people and a society. So, we all know that the festive season is upon us. We have just 40 days to Christmas and about 50 days to the new year. And even though this year has been a rough one, I believe that the spirit of Christmas will give us all hope again. And you know, there's just this freshness that comes with Christmas and New Year. So, and trust Nigerians and celebration. Now, we always find reasons to eat and party. Anyway, we all know that our signature food on Christmas Day in Nigeria is rice, whether jollof rice, fried rice, rice and stew, or any other type of rice. It's like, if Nigerians don't eat rice on Christmas Day, the world will end. Unfortunately, the price of a bag of rice is now 40,000, which is way more than many people's minimum wage. I be sure we now talk about onions, or so many other things. I never thought I'd say this, but onions is now like gold in Nigeria. Like, just yesterday, I bought 4 medium-sized onions for 800 naira, and if things don't change, it may get costlier. But don't panic, because your girl Kamsi is here to help, and that is what today's episode is all about. My guest is here to, you know, help us to share her vast knowledge of food, and that will help us have the best Christmas and New Year celebration without having to break the bank. So, without further ado, let me introduce my very special guest to you guys. Today, I have celebrity chef, Chef Imoteda, on the show with me. She's the head chef at Hills in the Kitchen. She was the host of season 1 of Urban Kitchen Show on Vox Africa, and she's been part of the GT Food and Drink Fair, and she also made a brief but memorable appearance on the Royal Hibiscus Hotel movie featuring Zainab Balogun, amongst numerous other impressive achievements. And she's here today to share with us some of her priceless knowledge. Please, let's welcome to the show Chef Imoteda. I'm so excited to have you here today.
Thank you so much for having me. I think that announcement, you make me sound so fancy.
No, believe me, I went through your profile and you're doing amazing. Like, I was so impressed by everything I saw. I really was blown away. So, please just, I know I've said the whole lot, but just tell us a little bit more about yourself so that the listeners can get to know you better.
Fair enough. Okay. So, yes, I'm Chef Matata. I've been a chef for about 5 years. I'm currently the head chef at 2 restaurants, Atmosphere Rooftop in Lucky Phase 1, as well as The Signature, also in Lucky Phase 1.
Okay.
I'm a huge fan of Nigerian fusion food. That's my passion. I love taking Nigerian food and, like, mixing it with other cultures and creating new and exciting things.
Yeah.
And I'm a Nollywood celebrity. I did.
Yeah, you are.
Next thing, I win Oscar. So yeah.
Yeah. So we are praying for that. So okay. How long have you been a chef, and how did you get into it?
So I've been a chef for about, what year are we in? 2020. So about 6 years. Oh wow, 6 years now.
Wow.
It's actually funny. I didn't start out wanting to be a chef. What happened was I talk a lot, and my dad was like, you know, you talk a lot. You should be on TV. You know, go do a TV show, and I'll help you shoot your pilot, and then, you know, we can figure it out from there.
Yeah.
I always, when I had my daughter, I started watching a lot of the Food Network and all these, you know, culinary channels.
Yeah.
And I always wanted to see a Black person, because I was living in Canada at this time, and I wanted to see a Black person who was like me, who really liked makeup and hair, but also really wanted to cook very quickly. So I had this idea for a show called Heels in the Kitchen.
Yeah.
That would teach people how to make, you know, food, like break it down in a way that's simple, but, you know, also remain glam and, you know, basically how you can cook and still be beautiful in the kitchen. So okay. I had this idea for this called Heels in the Kitchen. So I called him about it, told my dad about it, and he was like, oh, that sounds like a great show. You should do it. And I said, great, let's do this thing. But I'm not, I don't like doing things without having, like, proper experience.
Yes.
So I decided to go to culinary school. I was a makeup artist at the time.
Okay.
So I said, okay, let me go to culinary school and learn how to cook. Not that I'm coming to teach people how to cook on a TV show, but I don't know how to cook.
Yeah.
And while I was in culinary school, I was like, oh, my God, I love this. Like, I discovered that how much I love being in the kitchen, creating new dishes, learning new things. So I came back to Nigeria, and I was like, yes, I am now a chef.
Yeah.
So I left the office, and that is how I became a full-time chef.
All right. Okay, so can you share one of your most memorable cooking experiences with us?
Ooh, I have so many. So many. Let's see. You know, my favorite cooking memory is when I cooked for John Boyega on a boat.
John Boyega is the American actor, right?
The British actor, the guy from Star Wars.
Okay. Yeah. I remember now.
So I had to, I cooked for him and his family on a boat.
Wow.
In the middle of the lagoon on, like, a very tiny rickety stove. I did, like, a five-course dinner for them on the boat. It was very hard just because, like, it's a boat. The boat is in motion.
Yeah. Can you imagine?
Oh, this guy is an international celebrity. God, don't let me embarrass my ancestors. But luckily, he really enjoyed the food. So that's, like, my favorite food memory. Like, and that one makes me very happy.
Yeah.
I have this funny thing that happened to me at a client's house. So I was invited. I met this lady at another dinner that I'd done for her friend. She'd come for the dinner. And I served this dish of crab cakes and radishes and, like, a pea puree. And, you know, she called me and she was like, yeah, she really wants me to do dinner for her birthday. And I was very happy. So I said, yeah, thank you. I'll do it. And then she was like, oh, please make sure there are radishes on the menu. And I thought radish is a very random thing to want to have on your menu. Who even really knows what it is? I barely know what it is. I just put it on the plate for garnish. But you know what? Maybe she really do like radish. So I was like, yeah, sure, there'll be radishes. So when I did the salad, I put so many radishes on the menu. And then she called me after I'd finished serving dessert, and she was like, now she really enjoyed the dinner, but she didn't see the radishes.
Mm-hmm.
And this was in front of all her guests. well. So I was standing there and I was like, oh yeah, no, I put them on the salad. And she's like, no, she didn't see it at all. But she asked me for radishes. She was very specific that she wanted radishes. And she's like basically criticizing me in front of all her guests.
Yeah.
Like it's like people just staring at me while I'm being kind of yelled at.
Hmm.
And her finally, like one of her friends is finally like, oh no, the radishes were on the plate now. Like I saw them. And she was like, which one are the radishes? So I went to the kitchen to bring out a radish so she could see what it looks like. And then she's like, this is not what she wanted. Like she wanted that other thing that was like meat. Apparently all the time she was saying radishes. She wanted crab cake.
Wow.
Just didn't know what it was called. And yeah. So I just, yeah, that was very, very awkward for me. And I felt really bad because I was like, oh, maybe I should have asked her to clarify. Because even I thought it was weird that she really wanted radishes.
Yeah.
I don't think that, you know, some people do like random things.
Yeah, that's true.
But embarrassing for both me and her. Yeah. Those are my two, like,
yeah. Okay, so as a chef in Nigeria, or just in general, what are some of the hardest things you go through?
It's so many things. One, extremely high cost of food.
Yeah.
Two, man, a lot of people don't want to pay for good food or good service, but they want you to provide the world for them. So that gets extremely frustrating, and like they don't understand things and preparation and how much goes into just creating a dish. So you hear people say things like, "Are you not just going to boil rice? Are you not just going to boil potato?" And I'm like, "Yeah, but I have staff. I'm going to bring waiters to come and serve you.
Exactly.
You know, if you're coming to the restaurant, then." We're paying for NEPA credits, we're paying for AC, we're paying for this, we're paying for that. Like, there's a lot that we're doing. It's not just to buy rice and boil it. So that's a bit difficult, like, trying to get people to understand that, you know, this we're not just charging for food. These things do cost money.
Yeah, exactly. If you want something good, you should want to pay for it.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Something that's a little difficult is getting people to... I mean, it's better nowadays, and I'm very thankful for that. But for a long time, getting people to accept that being a chef was real work.
Yeah, exactly.
That was frustrating. But luckily, I mean, people are becoming a lot more open-minded. People are beginning to see that there's so much to do in the food industry. There's so much money to be made,
exactly.
And there's so much like creativity to be had. So I'm very happy that. Things have shifted a bit.
You know, the average Nigerian feels like every woman is a chef.
You know, every woman is already a chef.
Right? Well, they don't know that there are other things that also go into it that most of us women can't do.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of things. I mean, it's like any specialized industry, right?
Yeah.
Any man can be a doctor because, I don't know, it's just like any specialized industry. There's a lot of things that can't be done by the regular people, by a regular person. Like a regular person just doesn't have the time.
Yeah, exactly. So, we all know how much a bag of rice in the market is now. Even onions, granite oil, tomatoes, like the prices have gone way up. So, what do you think is the reason for this? Like, is it just the season or is there anything in particular that happened that must have made it to be like this?
I think our government and their wicked economic plans happened. Closing the borders without making a plan for, you know, local production of food.
Yeah.
That didn't help the situation.
That's true.
I mean, things generally go up during this season, but it's never this bad or this drastic. So I think definitely a lot of what's happening is part of the short-sightedness of government.
Like I said before, usually Nigerians are known to eat rice in whatever form and chicken on Christmas Day. But the sad truth is that many families might not be able to afford it this season. So we would love to know some other cost-friendly meals one can prepare on Christmas Day and or New Year's Day, that will still give that, you know, jolly Christmas celebration feeling.
So, you know, I said earlier that I'm a huge fan of Nigerian food and doing a lot of Nigerian fusion.
Yeah.
One of the things that I personally do every Christmas or every time I have a celebration, I take my typical Nigerian foods and I just change them and make them a little bit more fancy. One of my favorite things is moi moi.
Moi moi.
Moi moi. I love moi moi.
Yeah.
I feel like moi moi is like, it's like a labor of love, right? It's not like a super difficult thing to do, but if you're making moi moi, yeah, I wake it up in the morning to say today I'm making moi moi. So
yeah.
I feel like moi moi is, for me, a very festive food. Maybe because when I was younger, I only used to have it, like, on the weekends. It wasn't a, you know, it wasn't an everyday thing. And I do this dish. It's a moi moi puree. I think I have a recipe somewhere. I'll send it to you after this. But I do this dish. It's a moi moi puree. Basically, I prep my moi moi the way, you know, everybody else does. And then I steam it. And I blend it with a little bit of hot water and vegetable oil.
Yeah.
So it becomes this really silky, really smooth puree that you can eat, almost spread like butter on things. And I think it's something that makes for a really, really nice, fancy dish. So it's something that's familiar. Luckily, the price of beans hasn't skyrocketed like so many other things.
Yeah, beans is still quite okay.
Yeah, exactly. So it's something that, like, you could make or make it a little bit more fancy and know that you have something different and festive. Also, egusi soup. Can we talk about how... No, seriously. Egusi is, like, one of the best things in the world.
No,
like,
it's my favorite soup, actually.
It's a woman of taste and discernment.
Yeah.
I love egusi soup. It's my favorite, like, Nigerian soup. And I think, like, moving to more, like, swallows and stuff like that helps. Now, you need onions for egusi soup, but one thing I've found helps stretch onions out a little bit is if you blend them with a bit of water.
You blend the onions with water?
Yeah, so what I do often is I'll take onions, especially in the restaurants, because we work with so much volume. So we take the onions and we blend them, we add a little bit of water, and we put them... Like, we keep them in the fridge. If I want to freeze them, I'll add a little bit of oil.
Okay.
So that they don't change color. And that way we get more, I mean, we get to keep it for longer and it lasts longer and stays fresh longer.
Yeah.
But also, I've realized that when we do that, we actually use less than if we're just chopping it up.
All right.
So it's a good way to, one, preserve your onions, and two, like, reduce the amount of onions that you're actually using to cook, especially since, you know, like you said earlier, onions have become the new gold. If you have onions, propose to me, I will marry you.
Right, so are there some other dishes you can suggest?
Other dishes? I mean, we have... So if you wanted rice, we still have our local rice, Ofada rice, it's a different taste from the imported long green rice that we already buy, but it is really great. Ofada rice and stew.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah.
And then I think maybe even other soups, even if it's not egusi, it can be bitter leaf soup. Yeah, okra even. If you add like chicken and all those things, you can boost it up and still give it that Christmas feeling.
Mhm.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
So, some periwinkle in there. Yeah,
that's true. Okay, so just the other day on Facebook, someone asked if she must use onions to prepare stew, and you know, most people said yes, that there's no alternative for it. Like, for me personally, I use onions for a lot of my meals, even indomie, to fry eggs and all those stuff. So are there any substitutes or alternatives for onions while cooking, like for some dishes anyway? And you could also tell us some dishes that onions cannot be substituted and some that we can use other things to substitute onions. That will still give it the feeling that you will not even miss the onions in the dish.
Okay. So stew, I don't know the substitutes for onions in stew. I'm not sure. I'm not sure what you would substitute onions for. I'd be substitute for onions. I guess you could use spring onions, but I feel like for stew in particular, you will definitely need some onions. Mm-hmm. But a lot of soups, I find that you could actually get away with not adding onions to. I don't make adikaiko often because I like my mom's adikaiko, but the few times that I personally make it, actually don't tell my mom, but actually don't add onions to it.
What's that? What food is that?
Adikaiko, the soup.
Okay.
I actually, and I've never, like, noticed the difference in the taste like that.
Yeah.
Whether I add onions or whether I don't. So I think you can get away with not adding onions to that. If you're making okra soup, you can get away with not adding onions. Basically, onions are like, aromatic, right?
Yeah.
So, and replaced with other aromatics. You have garlic, you have ginger, so you can use that. Also, spring onions, luckily those are still relatively cheap.
Okay.
So I use, you can substitute to spring onions. I do a roasted pepper sauce, and because of the high cost of, you know, onions now, I've just started doing it with only spring onions. And it's a slightly different taste, but it's still really delicious. So,
I read somewhere that you could use carrots, like maybe in something like this, indomie now, or jollof rice, I don't know. Carrots or green peppers or, you know, celery, is it possible?
You definitely can. Well, celery is a bit expensive in Nigeria.
Yeah, that's true.
You definitely can. So a lot of dishes, I mean, aside from the taste, onions add body, right? So you can replace that with, you know, some different types of peppers, green peppers, yellow peppers, tatashe.
Yeah.
You can even do cabbage in some places, as long as it's not a dish that needs to be super dry, because cabbage has a lot of water in it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Okay.
But yeah, so you can definitely do that as well.
All right. How about for groundnut oil? Because that one too has actually gone up a lot. So there's some substitutes for groundnut oil you could use to prepare things like stew and other foods that require it.
There are substitutes for everything. The problem with the substitutes now is, are they more
expensive,
affordable than?
Yeah, that's true.
We're trying to save. For groundnut oil, I mean, we have our local coconut oil that we do. Some people do edible shea butter, so you can use that instead. Some people do edible cocoa butter. So a lot of these things people don't know to look for in the market, but they're actually quite available.
Yeah.
So I use a lot of coconut oil in my cooking. So you can definitely substitute a lot of your vegetable oil needs with coconut oil. The thing to keep in mind is, like, different oils have different smoke points, right? They have different points, like, they can handle.
That's true.
So you just have to be careful with the kind of oil that you're using. I mean, you probably wouldn't be substituting groundnut oil with olive oil because it's really expensive.
Yeah, olive oil is quite expensive.
It's quite expensive. But if you were using it, then you'd have to keep in mind that it has a lower smoke point. So you can't fry things as hot in olive oil as you could in coconut oil has a pretty high smoke point. And it's really tasty. So it'll not add, like, it'll be cheaper if you're buying it locally produced coconut oil. So it'll be cheaper and it will add, like, a really lovely flavor to your dishes. So I think that's a pretty good option.
Coconut oil. Okay, I'll keep that in mind next time I'm cooking. And also, you could opt for buka stew that uses only palm oil. That's still a great option.
Yeah, exactly. Palm oil. How did I forget palm oil? Can you imagine? Palm oil, the real OG. Our parents knew what they were doing, or our grandparents. So yes, definitely buy palm oil.
Yeah.
And it's been demonized, like, anyways, white people. But, you know, people have come around saying, oh, it's bad for you, this, that, and the other. There's absolutely nothing wrong with palm oil.
Exactly.
Healthy. Everything in moderation, that's all that matters. So, yes, please use palm oil.
Yeah. Okay, let's move over to the preservation of some of these things. Like, a friend of mine was complaining to me last week that she would want to buy onions and maybe tomatoes in bulk, but she's afraid that they might, you know, go bad before she gets to use them because, you know, they're perishable foods. So mm-hmm. are there some ways that you preserve your onions or your tomatoes that keep them lasting longer so that we could still, you know, because probably the prices of these things might go up before Christmas. So people like to stock up on these things now, but they don't know how to preserve them till they want to use them. So are there some tips you can give to us?
So like I mentioned earlier, I blend when I have an excess of onions, and now that we're trying to preserve them and use a little less, I blend a lot of onions together. If I want to freeze them, I add a little bit of oil and then just chuck it into the freezer, and it keeps really well in the fridge as well as in the freezer. Obviously, if you're going to keep it for more than a couple of days, then you want to add that oil and put it in the freezer.
Okay, something so else if, that, if you add oil, like how long can it last? Can it last up to 2 months?
If it remains frozen, yes.
Okay.
If it remains frozen, it can definitely last up to 2 months. And same goes with tomatoes. Tomatoes actually freeze really well. Yeah. So if you buy them and you just rinse them and put them in like a bag or something or a container and put them in the fridge, they will, as long as they stay, sorry, in the freezer, as long as they stay frozen, they keep really, really well. Same with peppers. So I always have like a bag of asparagus in my freezer.
Okay. Just,
and it keeps very, very well in the freezer. So freezing is a very good option for, you know, your tomatoes, your peppers, your onions. And you can boil, obviously. I think we all know, like, you can boil and freeze your tomatoes. You can make a massive stew base and then boil and freeze it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so that really helps. Another thing that you could do with tomatoes is there's a boil them, put them in a jar, preferably a glass jar with like a metal lid.
Okay.
Boil them, put them in while it's hot, seal it, and then turn it upside down. So what turning it upside down will do is that it'll trap all the air on the top, on the bottom of the jar, and then it's less likely to grow mold and spoil. So you can actually keep it in room temperature or at the fridge or in the fridge, and it'll last you for quite a while that way. So that's where you can preserve it if you don't have a freezer, if you don't have like steady power. We know how the power situation in this country is, so not everybody always has steady power.
That's true.
So that's also a great option for keeping things.
Yeah. Well, do you have any other ones? Because I have a few, like two or three that I found out from a friend of mine that she
does. Oh, yeah. I like to learn too.
Okay. She told me about you know what we call leggings in Nigeria. She said if you have a really light one, you could put your onions. You just put them in the tight, but after each one, you have to tie it so that the two onions won't touch each other, and you put up to like 5, 6, 7 on each leg, and just hang it in a dark place in the house, dry place that it can last like 3 months, 4 months without spoiling there.
Really? That I did not get. I will give that a try. And
yeah, please do so that we know, because I've never tried it before, so we'll know if it really works. Then also, you could dry, like the same way we have dried ginger, garlic, you could also dry your onions, just cut them in little pieces, dry them in the sun, and then blend them and keep them as onion powder.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, this is true.
Yeah, and then the last one here. This one is quite. I think it would be a little bit more expensive, but it also works. Said pickling of onions. That's when you peel them and place them in a glass or ceramic jar. You put vinegar, maybe apple cider vinegar or whatever type of vinegar you have. Add salt, sugar, and some other spices that are suitable to your taste. And this way, they actually last up to 6 months.
They do. So pickled vegetables do last a long time, and it's an option. And it's just important to keep in mind that the taste actually changes quite a bit.
Okay.
Don't get that same oniony taste, but you can still, I mean, it's still delicious, and you can still use it to cook. So, yes, that is definitely a really good option.
All right. Okay. That's great. So people that want to stock up on onions or tomatoes, you can actually do it. You just have to follow some of these methods and it will last, so that in case the prices go up, you won't spend so much during the festive season.
Yeah, you will be ready.
Yeah, exactly. So, some of my listeners sent in a few questions especially for you. So, I'll read them out to you so you could just answer some of them. I think there are about 4 or 5 questions here.
Okay, awesome. Let's do it.
All right. So, Alice asked, please, must I go to culinary school before I can become a professional chef?
No. The short answer to that is no, you don't have to go to culinary school to become a professional chef. Culinary school is great because it teaches you technique and also discipline, but these are all things that you can learn by just actually working in the food industry. So I would say, what I would suggest is that you find a chef that you really admire their work, or somebody that, you know, you think you would want to learn from, and intern. You can ask them if they are taking interns, so you can intern with them, and that's a great way to learn on the job. So you'll be learning not just how to cook, but also practical experience, like how to run a food business and all of that. So that's a very good way to go, interning with chefs that you respect. Another thing that you should do if you don't want to go to culinary school, and it's not cheap, so not everybody can afford to go, to be honest, is just start working in the food industry. At the end of the day, as a chef, your work experience is more important than your culinary school certificates when you get this.
That's true.
And you learn so much more in the kitchen than in school. It's like, you know, experience, you always learn more.
Yeah, that's true.
That's when you're in the kitchen, that'd be when you're in school. So, you definitely don't need to go to culinary school. Besides, nowadays, you have the University of YouTube. You have masterclasses that you can buy online that teach you so many things from all these great chefs around the world.
Yeah.
So, like, you have a lot of options. It's not, you don't need to do the traditional, or I'm going to culinary school.
Yeah.
You can, some of the best chefs I know are self-taught.
Oh.
So, learn.
Okay. Sandra asked, apart from opening my own restaurant, what other job opportunities do I have as a chef?
There are lots of opportunities. Once more, I love this era that we're in now with the internet and all of that. So I know some chefs that all they do is food blogging.
Yeah.
The food blogger, it pays really well. You set up a YouTube channel. Make videos, that also pays really well. You can also be a private chef, basically a caterer, but make it fancy. And do events and, you know, basically only cook on like a contract basis. You can be a private chef. So, you know, that's when someone hires you to be their personal chef in their homes.
Yeah.
So you could do that. Like, there are a lot of options. You don't have to do the traditional route of running a restaurant.
Yeah.
I really love that we do a lot in Lagos is just delivery. It's like a restaurant that only does delivery, right? So there are a bunch of people that do that where they just cook at home and they send out the food for delivery, but nobody comes in like to eat like a traditional restaurant.
Nobody comes to eat. They just do deliveries.
You just do delivery. So they order and then they...
Well, that's great. I usually will not become a chef myself.
Honestly?
Yeah.
You should. It's so much fun. It's such a great...
Okay. You can still hear me, right?
Yes, I can still hear you.
All right. Okay, so Mercy asked, I cater events and I want to ask, please, how can I still make profit as a chef despite the hike in price of food items?
How can I what? Sorry, I missed that.
How can I still make profit as a chef despite the hike in price of food items?
That's what we're all struggling with so much. Honestly, the truth is, some things will have to go up And customers kind of have to be a bit understanding of that, because they too, they know what's happening outside.
Yeah.
But I mean, you just got to look at different ways to cut costs. So it's a very good question, because it's what we're all struggling with, right? How do we save some money? Or how do we make sure that our customers don't have to pay all the money in the world,
yeah,
but the profit? And I wish I could say I had a perfect answer to that, but what will honestly have to happen is prices do have to go up. So in the restaurants, we have to increase our prices, because realistically, you're running a business. If it's difficult for your customers to buy food, if it's expensive for your customers to buy food, then they have to know that it's expensive for you to buy food as well.
That's true.
They look into, you know, just finding ways to cut costs, reducing your food waste, and then developing relationships with, you know, whatever you buy your vegetables from, so they can give you like the best price possible.
Yeah.
And then it's time to start looking at creative ways of cooking. So doing some of the substitutions that we've mentioned here.
Exactly.
Imported rice, local rice, you know, buying stuff in bulk and preserving it, all those sorts of things. But yeah.
All right. It's amazing.
Difficult.
Yeah. So just try to make your customers or your clients understand that things have gone up. So your own services too has to go up, right?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So the last but not the least question is from Martin, and he wants to know, okay, he says he's a junior chef in a very big restaurant, and he has so many amazing ideas that can help improve their menu, but he doesn't know how to convince the head chef to give him a chance.
Martin. Okay, so I mean, different restaurants run in different ways. For example, in my restaurant, you're very welcome to just come up to me and say, you know, chef, I have this great idea. Do you mind if I cook it for you so that we can see if it's something that you might want to add to the menu? I like that. I like when my kitchen is collaborative and everybody feels like they're a part of creating the menu, because that way people work harder when they see when like their contributions are
considered or taken up.
Yeah. Exactly. So that's for my restaurant though. If your kitchen, Martin, doesn't work the same way, then something you could do is at home, create the dish or cook the dish, whatever it is that you want to share or to add to the restaurant menu, and then take it into work because sometimes I know chefs will be like, no, it's restaurant property, you can't use it to experiment. So if it's something that you really want to be added to the menu, then cook it at home. And then take it into the restaurant and have your head chef try it and see how he reacts to that.
That's amazing. Okay, so last but not the least, can you just give a word of advice or encouragement to chefs out there or aspiring chefs too?
So all the aspiring chefs and current chefs, first, being a chef is really hard work. Physically, it seems, I know a lot of people message me and they say, oh, you seem glamorous. I'm like, no, that's okay. I've only seen the 2 seconds that I stopped to post for a picture there. But it is really hard work. It's really, really long days. So if you're trying to get into the industry, I just want you to get into it knowing that it's going to be really, really difficult work. Like, you stand on your feet for sometimes 13, 18 hours, 12. But it is also very, very satisfying work. One of the things I always advise people is don't stop learning. Like, and don't just do, you know, the traditional means of learning, like the culinary school, the just working with the chef. You have so many different avenues of learning available to you. You have YouTube, you have cookbooks, you have master classes, you have Instagram, you have people on Twitter who are forever sharing tips. So just make sure that you're surrounding yourself with all these different people who know food online and offline, as well as constantly educating yourself through YouTube, through cookbooks, through, you know, food blogs and all of that.
Yeah, I think shows.
Mm-hmm. And food shows, exactly. It's so funny. I'm on like 3 or 4 TV shows, but I don't watch TV. I always forget that TV is a great resource.
But okay. That's amazing advice, actually. All right. Thank you so much, Chef Imoteda, for coming on the Truth Korea podcast today. I've had such a swell time and I've learned a whole lot.
I am glad. Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. And I also want to appreciate everyone who tuned in to listen to today's episode. And you guys are the reason I do this every Thursday. I hope you guys learned and enjoyed this episode. Please share this episode with your family, your friends, and on social media, WhatsApp status, Facebook, and other social media platforms. And if you have a unique story or experience you'd like to share on my podcast, or you have an issue you want me to address, whether marital, parenting, relationship, family, career, whatever issue, just reach out to me on Facebook, on social media via the Truth Korea podcast on IG, the Truth Korea on Facebook, or send an email to info.thetruthkorea@gmail.com. And also, you guys can advertise your products and services with us on the podcast. Till next week, Thursday, au revoir and have a fantastic weekend. Oh yeah, give me love, make I rock your body, make you go, go, go. Make you whine out for me, make you show, show, show. Plenty loving for me, baby. Make I give you love, make you rock my body, make you go, go, go. Make you whine out for me, make you show, show, show. Plenty loving for me, baby. Sucker, 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 hey.